Take our Bibles this morning and turn to Ruth chapter 2, the book of Ruth chapter 2, as we have been studying our way through this book of the Bible, Ruth chapter 2. We've been studying through Ruth, and this is now the sixth message, I believe, out of this book. As we've looked at chapter 1, we looked at the overview, we looked at chapter 1 about the importance of decisions, and how that each decision we make has the potential to be life-altering. It may not be the most important decision that we ever make, but it has the potential to be life-changing. And so we saw that as we saw Elimelech, we saw Naomi, we saw Orpah, we saw Ruth, we saw each of them make decisions and how those played out in their lives and what that meant for them. And so now we come to Ruth chapter 2. And this is where the rest of the story, so to speak, begins. And we're going to start looking at here God's work in the life of Ruth and Naomi through this. So Ruth chapter 2 really accounts the events of a single day. This all took place in one day with Ruth and Naomi. And then we're going to be introduced to Boaz here in this chapter as well. So what I want to do is actually begin in chapter 1, verse 22, and we are going to read chapter 2 in its entirety. I will read it, you follow along, because it's important for us to understand all that's taken place here, and then we will get into the message and look at the principles that God has for us from His Word. So Ruth chapter 1 and verse 22 sets the stage, and then Ruth chapter 2 begins that. So Ruth chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after that she was sufficed. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said also unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvests. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. As we've studied through the book of Ruth so far, one of the overarching themes that we're going to see, and we have seen already in the beginning, and we will continue to see it as we go through, is that God is always at work in our lives to accomplish His purposes and His plans for us, but also His greater plan that includes others besides us. This is often what is referred to as God's providence. His hand, what we mean by that, is God working out His plan through the circumstances and situations of our individual lives. God uses our lives, our circumstances, things that to us seem out of our control. God uses those intentionally to bring about His purposes and His plans in our life, as well as His greater plan. That is God's providence. And God is always at work in our lives. And so we must learn, as we saw in our overview, we need to learn to trust God in every circumstance of life because God is always at work in our lives and around us. And as we come to Ruth chapter 2 here, really this chapter, although we're introduced to Boaz and there's a lot of dialogue and there's a lot that happens here, really the main truth that I believe that is throughout this chapter is we see God's providential hand at work in Ruth's life, Naomi's life, and how God brought it all about to accomplish His purposes. And so just as God was at work in Ruth's and Naomi's life here, God works providentially in our own lives today to bring about His purposes and His plans. And even when we can't see it, God is still at work. God uses many different things to accomplish His will and His purposes in our life. And we, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to learn to look for God's hand at work in our life so that we can be thankful and appreciate what God is doing. One, that will keep us from becoming like Naomi at the end of the first chapter, where she became bitter against God because things were not happening the way that she thought that they should. When she focused on her loss and what she expected God to do and what she wanted, she became bitter against God, and her bitterness affected all those around her. But at the end of this chapter, notice in verse 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, and now she's describing the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. There's a big change in Naomi from chapter 1, the end of chapter 1, to the end of chapter 2. Naomi is now praising the Lord and thanking Him for His kindness and for what He's doing. And truthfully, God has not done anything major in their lives. We'll get to it in a moment, other than providing food for them, which that's major enough. We need to be thankful for that. But the change in Naomi's life came about when she stopped focusing on what she lost and what she thought she needed and began to look for God's hand at work in her own life. And when she recognized that, then she gave thanks and was thankful to God. And there was a big difference between the bitterness and now her praise. And so as we look at this chapter, we're going to look at several principles and see several ways that God works in our lives to accomplish His will. And as we look at this chapter, here's the truth that I believe God wants us to learn from this. That you must recognize God's hand at work in your life and submit to His plan. Recognize God's hand at work in your life and then submit to that plan that God is trying to accomplish. Now let's ask God to guide us as we look to His Word here today. Father, Lord, we come to this time of studying your word and of preaching, Lord. And I have learned many truths from this passage as I've studied it. Lord, you've taught me from this passage. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me clarity of thought and word as I declare the message that you've given today. I pray, Lord, that I would say only those things that you once said and emphasize only what you want emphasized, Lord, for your honor and your glory, not for my recognition, Lord, but for yours alone. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do a work in hearts, that you would bring conviction where conviction is needed, that you would give comfort where comfort is needed, Lord, that you would give guidance where guidance is needed. Lord, whatever the need of the heart is, I pray that you will work and accomplish your purposes here today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've looked at this chapter, we're going to begin in verse 1 and we're going to walk our way through. As we have read the story here, we understand, as we remember from chapter 1, that Ruth and Naomi have now, we're back all the way back to the beginning of the story. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, took the family to Moab to escape famine. While they were there, Elimelech died, her two sons died, and left Naomi and Ruth and Orpah as widows. Ruth and Naomi eventually came back to Bethlehem, and that's what we returned, back to the place where they were from. And now that's where we pick up the story here. As we see several things, I want us to notice how God worked in Ruth and Naomi's life and understand that God works the same way in our lives today. So we see several ways that, or several things that God uses to accomplish his work. Number one, I want us to see this. God uses the timing of events in our life to accomplish his plan and purposes. Look at the end of chapter 1 as we read in verse 22. The very end of the verse seems like a footnote on the end here, but it says, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Why does God emphasize that? Because he wants us to take note of the fact that God is in control of the circumstances and the timing of events in our life. You see, God was working here and God brought them back at just the right time. And this barley harvest is what God is going to use to set up everything else that takes place in the book. Everything else that takes place in Naomi's life and in Ruth's life. That was no accident. It's not an accident or just, you know, lucky chance that they came back at just that right time. God worked the timing so that they came back exactly when they were needed so that they could meet who they needed to meet and things could be accomplished. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself with that there. But God brought them back. They were destitute. They had nothing as widows. We looked at that in chapter 1, that a widow in this time, in Bible times, was the poorest of poor, the most destitute of all, because there was no hope for her needs to be met. She didn't have a family, anyone to look out for her. But God brought them back to Bethlehem at just the right time to meet their needs and to set things in motion for his greater plan. I'm sure if we all looked back on our own lives, we could see how God has orchestrated timing to be exactly perfect for what he was trying to accomplish in our lives. In 2017, in our family's life, God began working in my heart and in Katie's heart about leaving our field of ministry where we were in Siberia, Russia, and coming to Newfoundland as pastors and church planters here. We didn't understand what God was doing at that time. We had no idea. It did not make sense to us on many levels, but we could not get away from the fact that God was clearly leading us here at that time. And so in May of 2018, we left Siberia and began making plans to come here to Newfoundland. What we didn't know at that time when God began working in our hearts was that was all about the same time when things were happening with the pastor who used to be here at Grace Baptist. And things were in motion where this ministry was in need of a pastor and leadership and things of that nature. We didn't know that until we got here, until we had already made the decision to leave, and then talked over with Pastor O'Brien in Stephenville, and things were in motion. And there were now two ministries that needed work and needed leadership, and God was leading us here for that purpose. He led us away from Russia to here at exactly the right time to be here at Grace Baptist Church as he wanted us. We could not see that. But looking back, we can see God's timing and God's hand in that. Another way that God's timing was evident in that was that after we left Russia in 2017, that was when my dad was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. And it would just be a few months after that that he would pass away. But by us already being in the States at that time, I was able to be there for my dad, for my mom, for the family during that time. It would have been difficult otherwise, but God's timing worked it out so that we were there just as when we were needed. And I'm sure others of us could share similar stories and similar testimonies of how God has worked in our lives. But the important thing is, God is not only in control of what happens in our life, but he is also in control of when things happen in our life. And we need to learn to recognize that God uses the timing of events in our life, not just for our good, but to accomplish his plan and his purposes. And we need to recognize God's hand in that way. Number two, God doesn't just use the timing of events in our life, but God uses our faith when we follow his plan. Notice verse 2 of chapter 2. Ruth said unto her mother-in-law Naomi, she said, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. We've mentioned this as we've gone through it already because this is an important historical background to the story of Ruth here. Excuse me, but God commanded the nation of Israel when he gave them the law in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus. He commanded the farmers not to glean, not to gather the grain from the corners of their fields. And anything that happened to fall as they were reaping, they were to leave it there so that the poor and the widows and the orphans could have something to gather to have their need for food met. That was God's provision for the vulnerable and the needy in the nation of Israel. Ruth here recognizes that. She recognized that God had made provision by gleaning in the field. Whether Naomi had told her or not, we don't know how she knew that, but she did. She knew that God had made provision that way, but she still had to go into the field and get it in order to have her need met. Really, her going into the field was a step of faith saying, "God, this is what you said. You said this is how our needs will be provided, and so I'm going to obey you. I'm going to take you at your word, and I'm going to do what you say." And we see, as we've read through chapter 2 here, that God met their need in a very great way. So what Ruth was doing, she took God at his word and acted upon it. That is the essence of faith. Faith is not just belief. Faith is not just understanding, like, "Oh yes, I know that," or "Yes, I believe that." Biblical faith is when we take what we believe and what we know and we say, "Okay, now I'm going to do it." James chapter 2 says, "Faith without works is dead." Faith is always expressed in action. When we think of faith for salvation in Jesus Christ, faith is expressed when we call out to God and say, "God, I'm a sinner. Please save me. I can't do it myself." There's the belief, but it results in an action, repentance and confession of sin. In our Christian life, faith results in living by God's word and saying, "God said this, this is what he expects, therefore I'm going to do it," and trust God to do what he said he would do. Ruth acted by faith. God wasn't going to just drop food in Naomi and Ruth's lap. He had made provision for it, but it required them to fulfill their responsibility and do what God told them to do in order to have their need met. You see, God's provision does not relieve us of the responsibility that he gives us. We can't just sit back and trust God when he has clearly given us a responsibility to do something. Many times it sounds spiritual. "Yes, I'm going to trust God for this, but if God has given us clear direction in his word and says, do this," we can't trust him to do it for us when he has said, "Here's what you need to do for this." There are some things that we do just simply trust God for. The grace that's needed for living. Doing things in God's own strength. But God has given us all clear responsibilities and he expects us to fulfill them as well. And Ruth here stepped out in faith. And God used her act of faith to, again, set things in motion that he would use later on in her life. And as we see even in this same day. The blessings that Ruth would experience that day of having an abundance of food and the blessings that would come later on that we already know from reading the rest of the story, all came about because of her step of faith in going to the harvest field and gleaning in that field. D.L. Moody is often credited with the statement that faith honors God, and God always honors faith. When we, by faith, do what God says we should do, and we trust that God will do what He said He would do, that's faith. And God can work and will work in and through our lives to bring about His purpose and His plan. So number one, God works through the timing of events in our life. Number two, God works through our step of faith and obedience in following His plan. But notice number three here, God works through, and I'm using this in quotes here, God works through the coincidental circumstances of life. Quote unquote, coincidental circumstances of life. Notice the last part of verse 3. Ruth chapter 2, verse 3 says, Ruth went and gleaned in the field. And notice what the Bible says. It says, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. That word hap is an old English word that simply means a chance occurrence. You know, we would say, oh, it's a lucky coincidence, is how we would say it in our modern day. Now, understand, there are no coincidences with God. God is in control of all. What God is emphasizing here by saying her hap was to wind up in Boaz's field, chance was for her to be there, was the fact that from a human perspective, this was all just an accident. It was not planned. There was no, she didn't know it was Boaz's field. Boaz didn't know she was there. From human involvement, there was no planning or foresight for the humans involved. But it was not chance by God. It was God's hand at work, God's providential hand, leading Ruth to just the right place, to have her needs met, and to meet just the right person. I want you to think about with me for a moment the fact that there are no coincidences with God. I want you to think about your own life for a minute and think about the specific circumstances that brought you to this local church. It's no accident that you are here today. God orchestrated specific circumstances and events and timings to bring you here for a reason. For some of you, as I know your stories and as you shared, some of you, God worked through a need for winter tires in a Facebook Marketplace ad to bring you into contact with Pastor O'Brien and others of this church. And through that, that was God's hand at work to bring you to the place where you trusted Christ as your Savior. Again, coincidence? From human perspective, maybe, but not with God. For others of you, perhaps you saw the church sign. And when you were going through a dark time, you reached out for help and God brought you here specifically. It was no accident that you saw our sign or that that God brought it to mind when you needed help. That was God's hand at work in your life. For some of you, you received a personal invitation. And through a personal invite and meeting someone here, God has brought you here for the reason so that you can hear the gospel and have an opportunity to trust Him as Savior. Others are here because maybe schooling or work has brought you to the area. Whatever the reason is, God has brought you here for a reason. He has orchestrated specific circumstances in your life to bring you to this point, not by accident, but for a reason. What we often look at and just kind of don't pay attention as and think of as, oh, that was coincidence or that was just luck, is actually God's hand at work in your life to bring you here for a specific reason for this specific time in your life. We need to recognize God's hand at work in our own lives. So God uses the timing of events in our life. God uses coincidental circumstances, and I use that in quotes, you know what I mean by that. God uses our faith when we follow His plan, but notice with me, in verse 4, God uses and works through the people that we meet. Notice in verse 4, the Bible says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And Boaz said to a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant goes on to say, this is Ruth, she's the Moabitess, she came back with Naomi. God works through the people that we meet. Now, understand a little bit of the geography here, okay? Bethlehem and where the fields were not exactly in the same spot. They were close by, but Boaz came from the city of Bethlehem to the field to look over the work and see how things were going. It was no accident that Ruth wound up in Boaz's field. It was no accident that Boaz happened to come to the field at the exact same time that Ruth was there working, and no accident that Boaz happened to see and notice Ruth there and ask about her and who she was and where she had come from. That was God's hand at work, God's providential hand working in Ruth and Boaz and all of the events. And God was going to use a person now, Boaz, in a very significant way in Ruth and Naomi's life. Boaz, as we've been introduced to him in chapter 2 here, says he is a kinsman of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. He was a wealthy man, very respected in the city of Bethlehem, in that area. And God is going to use all these as we go through the book of Ruth. We're going to see how all this plays out. But it was no accident that he happened to meet Ruth at that same time. Boaz noticed Ruth. He saw that she wasn't one of his normal workers in the field. And he asked about her. And after interacting with her a little bit, as we read in verses 7 and 8, Boaz made sure that she would be well taken care of. He provided for her immediate needs. He gave her a place to glean. He said, don't go anywhere else. I'll make sure you have all that you need if you stay here in my fields. Now, that was significant because normally the poor people who would glean would have to go from field to field to field to try to get enough to eat because there wasn't a lot left. But Boaz said, nope, I'm going to make sure there's plenty for you there. And as we've read, even in the, where is it, verse 16, he tells his workers there, he said, leave a little extra on purpose. Handfuls of purpose, he said. Drop them there so that she can glean. And he even told her, he said, go out with my reapers. You don't have to wait until they go through and then pick up the leftovers. Go with them and get what you need while they're working. And so he was showing grace and mercy and taking care of their needs. And the point is that we need to recognize that God brings people across our path for a reason and to accomplish His plan and His purposes. And we need to be alert to that fact. And alert to the fact that God's hand is at work in our lives and in the lives of others, and that the people who we bump into at the store or run across out and about are not accidents. God is bringing us across their paths for a reason. Sometimes it may be for you to be a blessing to them. Other times, God may use them to be a blessing to you. God accomplishes His work in and through people. I'm reminded of an illustration, humorous story, it's not true in any way, but an illustration that helps us understand this point. There was a man who was out sailing and shipwrecked and was stranded on a desert isle, nobody around, no food, no nothing there on the island, and was just crying out to God, like, Lord, save me. There's nothing here. I can't get off. My ship's wrecked. I need you to save me. Well, a day or so passes, and then a ship comes by that he sees. And they send out a lifeboat and row to him and said, we saw you here. He's like, we're here. Why don't you come with us and we'll save you? He said, no, I'm waiting on God to save me. Okay, so the ship goes and he refused. Ship leaves. Another couple days pass. A submarine surfaces. And they're, again, put out the lifeboat or whatever, the rubber raft from the submarine. And they roll over and say, hey, we see you here. You're in trouble. We got space. You can come with us. He said, no, I'm waiting on God to save me. Submarine goes. Again, he's there on the island, on that beach, deserted, getting weaker and not having anything. Well, a plane flies by, notices him, and then a helicopter comes by that can land and offers again to take him off that island and save him. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. Well, as it would turn out, it wasn't too long before he died and he stood before the Lord there in heaven. As he was before the Lord, he said, God, I prayed to you to save me. Why didn't you save me? You let me die on that island. God said, no, I sent you a boat, I sent you a submarine, I sent you a helicopter, but you didn't take any of them. And we often look for God to do something miraculous or amazing that we've never seen before. But God accomplishes His work in and through the lives of people that we meet, that He brings across our path. And we need to recognize God's hand at work in that area. So God uses, first of all, the timing of events in our life. Number two, He uses our faith when we follow His plan. He uses the coincidental circumstances of life. He uses the people that we meet. But notice also as we continue in verse 11, God uses our testimony and our reputation to accomplish His purposes and His plan. Notice in verse 11, verse 10, after Boaz talks with Ruth and says, I'm going to, you know, take care of you. You know, here's, you come and eat lunch with my reapers. You know, I'll take care of you while you're in the field and all that. She says, why are you taking, you know, showing me this kind of grace and care? It's like, I'm a Moabite. I'm a foreigner. Why are you showing me this mercy and this love? And he says in verse 11, he says, Boaz said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Based on these verses, I think it's safe to say that Boaz's care for Ruth was largely influenced because of her testimony and her reputation that she had there in Bethlehem. Boaz said, listen, I've heard how you left your own people. You left your own land. You're following the Lord God Jehovah. You're showed mercy and kindness to your mother-in-law after the death of her husband and now her sons and your husband. And I've heard all these things. Chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Ruth had an impeccable testimony and character. She had a great reputation and a good testimony before others. And that, no doubt, made Boaz more willing to help her. And God used her testimony, her reputation, to accomplish His work and His purposes. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 tells us, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. God puts a premium on our testimony, on our reputation before others. Really, our character, because it's our character that determines our reputation and our testimony. And God says, a good name is rather to be chosen than all the great riches that we could have. You see, when we live for God's honor and glory, our testimony will be noticed by others. And God works through a good testimony to open doors and accomplish His purposes and His plans through us. We've seen evidence of that firsthand here as a church. Again, what are we preparing for now? The Jigs and Wheels Carnival. How did that come about? Because several years ago, Katie contacted someone in the city about putting up a booth for one of the cruise ships that came in. We served hot chocolate, some treats, gave out some tracts and Bibles, and we're just welcoming people to the city. And the coordinator saw what we did, took notice of the fact that it was well done, it was decorated nicely, and things were done nicely there. And she contacted us later. Well, can you do something for this? Can you do something for this? And it has led to now us being able to do that. God has opened doors through that, through our testimony as a church. But I want us to understand that if God works through a good testimony, also understand the opposite can also be true. That a poor testimony can hinder God's working in and through us. That's why as a church, everything that we do should be done with a spirit of excellence. That's what we strive for with everything that we do. Not so that we receive the glory, not so that we receive the recognition, but we understand we're representing not just Grace Baptist Church, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times what people see in us is going to be the perception that they have of who God is. And so in everything, we need that excellent testimony. We strive for that, not just in the public things that are done in front of the community, but in every area of ministry, from cleaning the church to setting up to, you know, whatever. All of that needs to be done with the spirit of excellence for God's glory. As God says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. God works in and through our testimonies to accomplish His will and purposes. But then notice lastly here in this chapter, God also uses our faithful obedience to His will. Notice verse 17. It says, so she, this is Ruth, she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That ephah there is roughly about 15 kilograms of grain that's been hulled, and that's just the actual grain that can be used. Pretty substantial amount for a day's work. From what I've seen in history and culture of this time, that was about the equivalent of half a month's wages. So in one day's work, she had enough that would normally take a half a month. So Ruth gleaned in the field, verse 17 says, and verse 18, she took it, she went to Naomi, she shared it with her, and Naomi praises the Lord for it. But I want you to notice here, Ruth gleaned in that field all day, and she had more than enough for that day, more than enough for her immediate needs. She could have been satisfied and said, okay, that's enough for now. Got my needs met. We got enough for several days. We're good. But no, what did she do? She went back into the field again that next day and the next day. Notice what it says here in verse 23. At the end of the chapter, it says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Through the end of barley harvest, that was the immediate harvest that she was in. Wheat harvest was a couple weeks after that. So all total, Ruth was in the field for a good 6 to 7 weeks, gleaning, threshing the wheat or the grain, bringing it back, putting up some for you know, the future and for winter and time after the harvest. She was faithful in going and doing what she knew she needed to do at that time. And God used that to bring about His purposes. No doubt, well, we don't know for sure, but what would have happened if Ruth had just given up after that first day? Said, I got enough. We're good. I'll go out again when we're desperate and when we need it again. We don't know for sure, but most likely the story would have had a very different ending. Boaz would not have been impressed. He's like, well, that's just someone who just showed up and then left, and she would have soiled her testimony and her reputation. But Ruth continued doing what she knew she needed to do, what she was supposed to do, and God used her diligence to provide all that she and Naomi needed. Not just for her immediate needs, but God would use that much greater, as we'll see in chapter 3 and 4. God would use that to bring about Boaz and redemption for her and Naomi and provide security and marriage, and God would eventually bring through her King David, and ultimately Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But the point is that we can't forget that God is always at work in our lives, even when we can't see it. And if we are faithfully obeying what we know He wants us to do, He is going to bring about His plan and His purposes. But if we give up and aren't faithful in what we know God wants us to do, we hinder God's working in our lives and through us, and we limit God's blessing on our life. The truth is, God does not need us to accomplish His plans and purposes. He uses us, gives us the opportunity to be involved, but if we say, no, I'm going to give up, I'm not going to do that, God's going to find someone else. He'll work through someone else. I'm reminded of the story of Esther. Again, the other book of the Bible is named after a woman. But Queen Esther, who again, as a Jew, was brought into the pagan king's household and was made queen. And I'm not going through the whole story there, but there was a specific instance where she had an opportunity to take care of her people, Israel, and God could have used her in a great way. And her uncle told her, he said, God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And he said, If you choose not to, God will raise up deliverance from someone else. But God's given you the opportunity now. What are you going to do with it? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, God tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, the Christian life is one of faithful obedience to God's will. Often we don't see God's working in our lives, and we're faithful, we're doing things, and we may not see it, and we're tempted to give up and quit because we don't see them happening as fast or the way that we want them to. One of the common things that I hear as I've counseled and taught over the years is, we'll meet, I'll show what God's prescription is, how this needs to be remedied or what God expects you to do. And often, not always, but often I hear something will come back after a time or two and it's like, well, that didn't work for me, so I just stopped. That didn't work for me, I just quit. What that usually means is I tried once and because I didn't see the results I wanted, I quit, I gave up. But understand, growth in Christ, changing bad habits, correcting wrong thinking, rooting out sin in our life, it is a process. And just as it takes time to establish bad habits in our life, it takes more time to undo those bad habits and root them out. And growth in Christ is a process. And we must be faithful to that process. And the previous verses there in Galatians 6 tells us that we're either sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the Spirit. Again, an agricultural illustration. You sow the seed, you don't reap immediately. It takes time. It takes effort. You got to weed it out. You got to tend it. The reaping is going to come many months or time past when you sow it. You're not going to see immediate results. The same is true in our Christian life. It takes time and faithfulness and obedience to God's Word to see lasting change in our lives. And God wants us to understand that He works through our faithful obedience, not our flash in the pan, I'm all in right now, but then, I'm done. I didn't see anything. And then, 2 years later, I'm all in now. No, it's through the faithful, consistent obedience and walk with the Lord that God works in our lives and uses us to accomplish His plan and His purposes. So God uses all of these things and much more in our lives to accomplish His plan and His purposes. In Ruth's life, He used the timing of events. He used her faith when she stepped out to follow God's plan. He used the coincidental circumstances in life. He used the people that she met. He used her testimony and her reputation. And He used her faithful obedience to His will. And through all of this, as we get into chapter 3 and 4, we'll see how God orchestrated all these events. His providential hand was at work to bring about the ending that we've read about in Ruth chapter 3 and 4. But the point is, and I want us to consider this in our lives today, God is always at work in your life as an individual, in us as a church. God's hand is at work. Do you recognize God's work in your life to bring you to the place where you are today? Because God is always at work, you must recognize God's hand at work in your life and submit to His plan. Would you bow with me for prayer, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. As we consider the message here today, this is a time of invitation where I want to give you an opportunity where I'm inviting you to do something with the truth that you have heard today. And we ask you to have your heads bowed and your eyes closed because this is really a time between you and the Lord, not between me or anyone else. But let me ask you this one question, as I asked already, and I want you to consider it. Do you recognize God's hand at work in your life to bring you to the place where you are today? Perhaps God has brought you to this place to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says our lives are fleeting as a vapor, like the steam from a hot cup of tea. We don't know when our life will end. We don't know how many opportunities God is going to give us. But one thing I can tell you for sure, God has you where you are today to give you that opportunity right now. Do you recognize God's hand, His goodness at work in your life to bring you to that point? Or perhaps you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you recognize God's hand at work in your life to bring you where you are right now? Maybe the circumstances that brought you here were less than ideal from a human perspective, but can you look back and clearly say that were it not for God's hand in your life, you would not be here today? And just like Naomi, you have two responses, two choices of how you respond to God's hand at work. One, you could be bitter because things didn't go the way that you wanted them to. Or two, you could thank God for His goodness and grace that has brought you to where you are today. Whatever it is, however God is working in your heart and your life, will you submit to that work in your life?